We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Panther Point of View, bringing you an inside look to UNI athletics, taking you closer to the action with UNI coaches, student athletics, and Panther insiders.
Hello and welcome to the ever-loyal Panther Nation. This is the Panther Point of View podcast. I'm your host, Elliot Clough, at UNI Elliot, and today we're joined by Kekaisen.
It don't really matter.
Okay.
But when I was younger, we had to like put like signs in our windows, and my mom, they like made a thing. It was like Kek, then they like the word I, and then Zin.
Okay, there we go. All right, I probably should have asked that before we started recording, huh? But. Parker Kekaisen from UNI Wrestling placed third at NCAA National Championships last year. UNI's highest place winner since Drew Foster taking that national title a couple years ago. Parker, thanks so much for joining us today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Just Thanksgiving break. We're getting some good training in. We were in South Dakota this past weekend, so good to get our first competition under our belt, and then we'll be ready to go at the Harold Nichols Open in Ames Sunday.
There you go. And I'm sure you guys, as athletes as a whole in the fall especially, enjoy this little break from class and you can sort of focus on your craft.
Oh, yeah. We love it. Doug really likes, well, we don't get, like, we of course, like, with class and stuff, we got to do our lifting kind of in the morning. But, like, with now, Doug really likes to get us in around 9 o'clock because, like, for open tournaments and at NCAAs, that's, and Big 12s, I think first sessions usually start at 9. So just getting us used to that little time frame instead of 3:30 every day.
Sure, and I'm sure that you guys enjoy that little extra sleep that you get as opposed to getting up and lifting early in the morning.
Oh yeah, we love it. We love our sleep.
So let's start off talking a little bit about last season because, I mean, phenomenal year for you as a freshman, making it all the way to placing third at Nationals. You went 19-1, highest placing by a freshman at UNI since 1952. And that's a heck of a season to get under your belt with four years left, considering that didn't count towards your eligibility. Wrestled up a few weight classes a couple times to 197. Anything in particular from last year that you feel like you gained as a wrestler or learned that made you a better wrestler?
I just thought I learned So like, so I lost my wrestle off. I got pinned in my wrestle off and that like to start the year. So I was jumping up from weight class to weight class. So it was like kind of a little bit of uncertainty, right? So it's like, so it kind of just made me think like, even going through like uncertainty, like you don't know if you're going to be the guy, but you still got Doug talks all the time. It don't matter if you're the guy. It don't matter. Like your time will always come. It might not be now. It might be 4 years down the road, but you still got to keep pushing. And I think after that wrestle off where I lost, I came to a point where it's like, do I still want to continue? Well, I didn't come to a point. Like I realized I still want to keep working this hard. And like you put your head back down and you go back to work till you get your opportunity and see when you can run with it. See if you, when I get that shot, you got to be ready because you don't know when that shot will be.
Yeah, I'm sure that was sort of a come to Jesus moment for you. I you wrestled at a high level in high school, wrestling at nationals and winning two state championships. But was that kind of a wake up call for you in terms of how hard you had to work to wrestle at this level?
Yeah, I would say that it was a wake up call. And like the guy I lost to, Keegan Moore, he wasn't no slouch either. Like he's a really good wrestler as well. But it was just like, Parker, you still got to get back on the horse. You still got to find a way. Like next day, like you're still coming in. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what happened. You still got to find a way. And I think I kind of came to that realization there. It's like, I've never lost a wrestle off in high school, but you still get back on that horse. And I thought it was like it was a good moment for me. It's like, it's all right. It's going to be okay.
So you said that after that matchup with Brooks, you felt like that third period is where maybe I'm not phrasing it right, but you finally clicked in that match. Would you say that you've taken that and been able to apply it going forward? I know you said you did in those two matches afterwards that resulted in you getting third, but do you feel like you're more aware of that now? You're more in the moment, ready to go going forward?
Yeah. So like when that clicked, it was just like before I felt like I had I wasn't mentally like this is on me, not my coach or anything, but it was like weird. So I wasn't nervous for the match. I don't know. It was like a weird feeling. And I was like, and nervous. I feel like nervous is a sign of readiness. And I was ready for that. But the third period came and I'm like, oh, Parker, you can beat this guy, right? You can actually beat this guy. And I don't know. I gave Brooks too much respect, I believe. And he's a great wrestler. I can respect him. But like when I'm out there, like I gotta go take it how Doug talks about all the time. You gotta go take what you want. And that comes from ultimate belief in yourself. And at that portion, in that match, I was like, oh, Parker, you can actually do this. And yeah, that's on me. And I've learned and I've tried to make that adjustment to every time I'm on the mat, be like, I'm the best wrestler. I'm the best 184 pounder in the nation. I got to go prove that.
Absolutely. And with that said, you've only taken two losses in your collegiate career, one of them to Brooks, at least in terms of actually competing against another team. I know you mentioned that inner squad duel that you're not duel, but
wrestle-offs. Yeah.
Yeah. Wrestle-off that you had. Terms are hard. Loss to the wrestler from Iowa. Are those
Avasad? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And those are those things that you actively think about? I mean, I know we just mentioned Brooks, but are those things that you really keep in the back of your mind for, I don't know, motivation or things that you think about when, I don't know, you're trying to wake up at 5 a.m. to go lift?
Yeah, I would say I think about that when I wake up. It's like what are other guys doing? Or like, but also too, I got to focus on myself as well. Like knowing, like not focusing on other guys, knowing that I'm the best guy. If I'm waking up early to go lift, or there's a lot of times in my Brooks match and that I got in on a lefty high single leg and I kind of just held, right? And I know whenever I'm in a in a lefty single leg, not trying to build up. I think of that time in the semifinals where I was there two times and I didn't necessarily try to build up, and instead of just holding on for a stalemate, you got to rest through those positions.
For sure. And so with that said, I mean, like I said, you're 19-1 last year. Again, only two losses in your entire career while wrestling at UNI. How do you stay so consistent?
I just try to take those situations in the practice room. Doug talks about it all the time. He says, bringing Detroit to the UNI wrestling room, bringing Detroit to West Gym. If we're doing a last second, like to end a scrap, and it's like last takedown wins, right? It's OT in the national finals. It's OT in the semifinals. Like that's where I kind of think, and it's kind of two in my wrestling. Like when we're doing drill days too, it's like, oh, got to go again. Oh, got to go again. It's repetitive and it's hard, and it's also fun too. But when I think in the matches, it's like, I try to think, Parker, oh, you got to go again. You got to go score again. And when I'm going, when it's tired, when it's a kind of Doug, I'm not trying to roast Doug, but 2 minutes in Doug time is not 2 minutes in real life. But he says 2 minutes to go. It's like, yeah, I'm getting mentally tired, but I still got to find a way no matter how I feel.
Yeah, for sure. And you've mentioned Doug a few times, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about him more going forward. But how important is he to your success and to what you guys do as a team? I mean, the dude just seems like he's fired up all the time.
Doug, he is something else. I'm very fortunate to have him as our head coach, and he knows how to motivate guys. He knows I don't do my individuals then, but I know my freshman year, he's his finish work, and I was with him almost every week doing finish work and getting all the basics down. And just, I don't know, if I need someone to talk to, I can go to Doug. And I honestly, all our coaches, right? Roper, I know me and Roper have had some talks. Randy is a goofy. He knows how to lighten me up on a bad day. B-Rob's just a workhorse, dude. He's goofy as well. He finds a way. And I know if I'm caught slacking, B-Rob will be there. It's like, we have a great support system.
So I interviewed Drew before he won his title in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to a few wrestlers. I've gone to a few meets when I was in school. And the thing that I have noticed that is kind of a common thing across the entire wrestling roster is you guys are just consistent with your emotions, no matter what. I mean, I know there's a video of Drew where I think he had lost a match earlier in the duel versus Iowa State in the West Gym. I can't remember the circumstances. I think somebody was going for a pin record or something like that, or to win versus Iowa State.
Iowa was going to win the duel.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And Drew was still jumping up and down and cheering him on. Does that come from Doug? Does that come from just, I don't know, wrestling culture?
Yeah, I agree. Yes. I feel like that comes from a lot of our culture. So I remember, so like Doug said, well, Doug, I said Roper says control, but I think that's honestly a theme of Doug as well. Control, like, I'll go back to last year. It's like we had this one practice I remember vividly, and he said we have to do seven takedowns. Seven takedowns, you can be done. Seven perfect takedowns, and we're all at six, and he's like, oh, start again. Restart again. And I think and then we do it again. We get the five. It's like restart, not good enough. So they have very high expectations. But they're also training us to be bulletproof mentally. Because I know, like, say a bad call happens, bad calls are going to match. The refs are human. So, like, say we get a stalling call on us, that's not fair. Or say we get a takedown taken away. It's like, oh, it don't matter. It don't matter because I'm strong in my mind, and I have been prepared for this moment, and I'm a good enough wrestler to go score again and push through the adversity. And I think Doug trains us in that way with his high expectations. And I know, like I said, Doug time's 2 minutes, but I honestly think he kind of does it to test us mentally for that, to make us bulletproof. So it's like, it's getting long in a scrap and it's like, oh, Doug, come on, 2 minutes. That was 2 minutes, 2 minutes ago. It's like, no, you still gotta find a way. You still are mentally tough enough to do that and push through the adversity. Cause even though you don't want to be there, even though that takedown, you knew you had a takedown, but you're still able, you know, you didn't lock your hands. You weren't stalling. You still, it don't matter. Do not matter. And that's how Doug trains us.
And with that said, I know that I watched the Panther Sports Talk season preview on YouTube, which you, of course, anybody who's listening can find that there. They do excellent work at Panther Sports Talk. And you had mentioned that you thought that the team just found an extra level this summer, of extra level of whether it was technique or where to go mentally or anything like that. What was different about this summer as opposed to previous summers?
So 2 summers ago, my first summer here would have been COVID year. So I honestly don't know what a summer would look like. So like, this was my first summer here, but I know talking with like Austin and like they had a lot of like structure throughout the summer, to say the least, if that makes sense, like set times. But a lot of this summer was all on us, right? Like, and we were supposed to have kind of that normal summer. But I guess like everyone, like we were all here in the summer, and like some people, yeah, you went on vacation if you wanted to, but most of the guys were here all the time. And 3 o'clock, 3:30, that's kind of a very common time. Well, that's when we have practice now, but 3 o'clock, 3:30, it was kind of just known throughout the team. Like that's when you're kind of come in and put your work in. And we were like, it was very on us. Yes, we had some structured scraps and structured drill days, but like we weren't like till the first day of season, October. I don't even know what the first day of season, October 12th. Like we were a lot on our own, and it was all in. I feel like we were like 5 days a week, five, six days a week. Everyone's in there getting an individual with a coach, or getting a sweat in, getting their body feeling right. Like it was kind of like all on us. That's kind of what the summer was like. And on us also means like how we gained layers. I talked about gaining layers, and I think that's Panthers Sports Talk, and everyone developed a new layer to their wrestling. And Doug preaches that all the time as well. Like we're adding layers. We're not going to be the same wrestler. Well, we can be similar wrestlers, but we're going to similar wrestler where we were last year, but we're going to be better.
And so with those added layers and putting in that work this summer, do you think the added layers or the extra level of work comes from the fact that you guys had to be accountable with yourselves as opposed to coaches holding you accountable?
Yes. Yeah. I personally, yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Cause I think when it's just like, it's different than being told something. It doesn't become, it's not a want no more, right? No. It's not being told something. It's wanting to do something. And I think when you're wanting to do something, you're going to be way more kind of like more in depth with yourself, and you're going to find your own wrestling. If you kind of get where I'm saying going.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Like being told to do 4 single legs or like doing 4 single legs my way, and having the coaches sit on the side and give their input where you think you need it.
Yeah. So it's you making the decision to get better as opposed to the coaches.
Yes.
You know, forcing you to do, not forcing, but having you do something different. So yeah, that definitely makes sense. And with that said, you know, we're talking about the off season, talking about how you all added another level. I mean, we just mentioned Carter Isley, a big add to the roster a couple of years ago via transfer with Brody Teske. What have you seen from some of your other teammates, from your guys that encourages you about how they're going to perform this season? Or have you seen anything from somebody we might not know, a younger guy that you're like, that's exciting and that's a reason to come out and catch the Panther train this year?
Like I said, to come watch the Panther train, I just think it's pretty cool seeing all the freshmen, right? All the freshmen. So now that we're competing, like, we're not, like, they still come in, but they're in twice a week. But I think since those freshmen got here, every morning, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they lifted Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. So every morning they weren't lifting. They were in the resting room in the morning because I lift at like 6:30 and Monday, Wednesday. And they were in there doing an individual with Roper, kind of like a small group training session almost with Roper and other coaches as well. And you just see kind of that self-accountability to get better instead of forcing to get better. Like, it was all volunteer. All volunteer to come in at 6:30 in the morning and get their work and then go back, go to school, recover, come back at practice and continue to add layers like that. And I just think a reason to come out to see us, it's, well, one, we're all going to be better. And maybe that's Austin hitting more leg attacks and getting more pins, or Lance getting some pins, Noah Glazier throwing by some underhooks. It's gonna be fun to see the layers these guys added and yeah.
And honestly, if you haven't been to the West Gym for a UNI wrestling match, like, what are you doing? That is one of the most fun environments in all of Iowa. Is that a big reason? Were you able to attend a meet when you were being recruited? Is that a reason that made you want to come to UNI?
Yeah, I attended a meet when I was being recruited. And honestly, so like, well, I'm from Wisconsin, right? So we were like at Askren Wrestling Academy. They took a team to the Wartburg Duels. It's kind of a youth tournament, and there was a dual meet. Wisconsin was dueling UNI at West Gym, so I was just a little 12-year-old, and it was already sold out. And we saw, and they found a way to get us in that in the doors, and all these Askren kids were sitting Matt's side, and I was a Badger fan at the time, and I thought I saw Joel Colon beat up Tyler Graff and some Wisconsin legends like lose match. I'm like, whoa. And being in West Gym, it was probably, my dad talks about it all the time, is one of the coolest, loudest atmospheres he's ever been in. And it's one thing that I can't wait to experience running out of West Gym. I saw, like, when Taylor Lujan majored Taylor Venz in West Gym, that was one of the coolest, loudest reactions I've seen. So it's a historic building. A lot of greats have walked through those halls, and it's an honor to continue to be in that building and wrestle for those guys.
This season, you're 3-0, one big win over Iowa State's Marcus Coleman. That was your first win over a highly ranked opponent, much earlier than last year. That your first win over a highly ranked opponent came January 30th in 2021, this last season. So are anything different compared to last year? Are you feeling stronger? Are you feeling more fit? Do you feel like you've added more tools to the toolbox per se in different ways you can wrestle or anything like that?
Yeah, I believe, like, so this off season, I know top was a big emphasis for me, and and getting more angles, trying to just be more efficient. Like last year, I feel like I was just like run through a wall and keep running through the wall and keep running through the wall till it eventually falls down. But today, like now, I feel like I'm more efficient and kind of going around the wall, if that makes sense. Like going around, getting more angles and that kind of being efficient in that way and being more stingy on top. I know it was funny, my club coach and my high school coach, they always gave me crap for taking down, letting people up. And I know this summer it was a big, really, really big emphasis to get riding time and find ways to not tire other people out and wear on guys on top.
And so did that come from your experience, like the decision to focus on that? Did that come from your experience at Nationals? Did that come from your experience just in the entirety of last year or anything like that?
No, I'd say come from if we want to win. So like our goal, we have goals on the wall and our goal is to win a team title here, win a team title this year. And if we want to win a team title, we're going to have to get pins at the national tournament, and pins come mostly from top, especially they come from wearing guys down. And I know wearing guys down and trying to get turns. And I know last year at NCAAs, I got a cradle and four near fall, and it was a lot more fun and a lot more, I don't know the word. It wasn't easier, but I'm like, oh, there's 8 points on the board to 1 point. I like this a lot better than 4-2 and still having to go all the time. I can kind of relax and set up more offense.
And so you just mentioned that the goal is to win a team title. Are we talking about a national title for you and I wrestling?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay, you guys are ranked 16th in the country right now, last I saw. So how do you feel about the prospects of that? What do you think? What do you think adds up to you and I winning a national title? What do you guys have to do to go out there and compete for a championship?
Go out there. I think. What did Baby G say? Baby G said something. We gotta be fighting all the time. He said this after practice, and he's like, "There's got to be fight all the time." And one of our goals, it's seven. Is there's a different word used for it, but it's really hard. 7 minutes, right? 7 minutes in a match, but 7 minutes of very hard wrestling, to say the least. And that's one of our goals, and I feel like that's what it takes. That's what it takes. It's going to be whenever you wrestle, you and I wrestler, you know, it's going to be a tough battle. You know, they're going to be stingy. You know, they're going to be gritty. And we just have to come with that mindset every time. And I know we have the guys to do it. And Doug believes we have the guys to do it. He won a national title at Iowa. He's been on national championship teams, and he knows, he sees it, he believes it, and he preaches it, and just keep continuing what we're doing. Maybe Dicktronics Open wasn't our greatest tournament of the year, but I know with all that work, all those layers we've added this season, this off season, and that's not even like by layers, I mean, like they're still like even the injured guys, like they were still in there finding a way, whether they got shoulder surgery, knee surgery, they were still finding a way to get better and finding a way. And I feel like that kind of represents our program in a way, kind of finding a way, being stingy, finding a way to win those matches we're not necessarily supposed to win. And if we do that, give those seven minutes of really hard wrestling and being good in our technique and continue to add layers throughout the season, not just in the summer, but throughout the season as well, we can get to that point where we're winning a team title here at UNI.
And so Drew Foster, like I mentioned, last individual champion for UNI at the national level. Is he, as far as I know, he's still around the program. Is that right?
Yeah, Drew's a part of the program, and then Taylor Lujan is also there. So,
okay, and both of those guys wrestled at the weight class that you're at now. So a tradition of great wrestling at 184 at UNI. How much do those guys help with where you're at, or mentality, or any pieces of advice that they offer to you?
Those guys, I'm very fortunate to have those guys in the room. I got Taylor, I got Drew, I got Noah, I got Lance, I got Austin Yant, I got Sima, I got Tank, Adam Aronson, Grunderson, the heavyweights as well. Like, you look around the country, you don't see a better upper weight room to be with, and even our smaller guys too. Like, they're on that level as well. We have very good depth, but those guys, Taylor, Drew. I know me and Taylor and Drew, we're always bouncing technique off each other and seeing what fits. I know Drew's a very, very difficult matchup for me with his speed and his length, and he helps me there. He helps me. He's got one of the best single leg finishes in the world and best leg attacks. So, and I love doing leg attacks, and it's awesome to have that knowledge around. Taylor with his knowledge and his scramble ability. It's I'm very, very, very fortunate to have those guys.
All right. And by the sounds of it, you've got a good group behind you, a good group with you. And so third place at Nationals this year, from what I've seen on a few different sites, you're ranked number 4 coming into the year with Miles, I think it's Amin, or you'll know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, Miles Amin, yeah.
Amin from Michigan, who's back in the mix. Is the goal a national championship for you too?
Yes, the goal is a national championship for me as well.
All right, and how do you make it happen this year?
How do I make it happen? I think just trying to leave that mat with no regrets. Sinking, Doug talks about all the time, sink to love your training, train at a high level each day. Come in, even when you're feeling bad, you still got to find a way to get your maximum output and go out there, go wrestle hard on that mat, leave that mat with no regrets.
There you go. Great stuff from Parker Kakaisen today. Parker, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. So once again, I am Elliot Clough from the Panther Point of View podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow wherever you're at, and leave that rate and review on Apple Podcasts as well. So once again, I am Elliot Clough at UNI Elliot on Twitter. And this was the Panther Point of View.
This has been the Panther Point of View. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Panther Sports Network.